Today was another great episode, and he talked about the different paths that he's been on with his health journey and the different diets that he had tried. And his success, oddly enough, came about while he and his wife went on vacation and started to kind of, unbeknownst to him, but started eating kind of more along the paleo guidelines and dieting that he thought was more of a birthday celebration kind of food, steak and sweet potatoes and things like that, and how great he started to feel, which I find really, really interesting, that kind of stumbled upon health and what eating properly is supposed to really look like, as Mike kind of referred to it again as the birthday diet. So I really enjoyed Mike's, our conversation with Mike. You can just tell he's a genuine guy and really just wants to help others and just share his journey about health and the great successes that he's had over the last few years. So hope to, you guys enjoy the episode and are able to take some good nuggets.
Yeah, David, I agree with what you said. I like how Mike came across his kind of discovery by accident. It seems like a lot of people that discover solutions to their own health issues do so by trial and error and experimentation on their own. So this was another kind of vindication of that method of figuring out, you know, what you might have wrong. I think also the fact that Mike helps other people in their weight loss or health journeys using the same methods that helped him out just kind of goes to show you that he believes in it and it works. And the way that he approaches that is kind of straightforward and to the point with his customers or his clients. Then the never-ending experimentation, you know, that's the part that I think a lot of people don't want to mess with. But, you know, Mike talked about experimenting even with raw food and how that made him feel, some other preparation methods with fermenting and things like that. So this was just a wide-ranging, fun discussion, and I agree. I think our audience will really enjoy it and appreciate what Mike has to say and be able to take something from it. Folks, welcome back to another episode of Healthy Team, Healthy Business. We're happy today to resume our guest features for our podcast, and today we have Mike Bruce, who trades online as Life Starts With Food, which David and I both are definitely fans of that concept. And like a lot of meetings these days, Mike and I just kind of met through Instagram, and then we both attended an event recently at world famous Polyface Farms here in Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, and kind of connected again after that and decided we needed to get together and talk. So Mike, I want to thank you for joining us today on our podcast, and maybe just give the folks a little bit of background about your Life Starts With Food setup and some of the stuff you've done, and then David and I will get into some of the questions we prepared.
Yeah, definitely. No, great to meet you guys again. And yeah, that Polyface event, they're always great. If anybody listening, if you guys get a chance to go to anything at Polyface, I drove 5.5 hours to get there. It's always worth it. Yeah. So me, I started out, it's kind of funny, the son of a cake baker. And standard American diet. We were dirt poor. So, you know, summertime is wedding season. I was eating, my mom would cut the tops of the cakes off, and then her Crisco icing, buttercream icing, but made with Crisco. Everybody loves this stuff except for me. And our diet in the summertime was, we'd come in from riding bikes all day, and we would have these sandwiches made from the tops and bottoms of cakes. We'd have that for breakfast, lunch, and dinner half the time. And and I used to think, man, my mom was so terrible to do that to me. And then I think about the ingredients in cereal, right?
Yeah.
It's not a lot different than cake and icing. So, you know, massively loving family, a Christian family, God-fearing family. That's really everything I come to my day to day-to-day life with is from that background of loving God, fearing God, following Christ, trying to be Christ-like every day and failing terribly, but trying. So if you ever question any of my viewpoints, know that it comes biblically, and that'll help with understanding some of what I say. I was always an athlete throughout, you know, my life. I quit playing football in college before the season even began, and immediately started putting on weight. My standard American lifestyle was destroying my body, and it was pretty fast. I went from 190 muscle in high school playing a fullback to 220 pounds as just all fat, no muscle. And so it only took about, you know, that 8 months between football season to that. And I tried everything. You know, I would take advantage of any kind of, I my wisdom teeth pulled out. I took advantage and just starved myself and, you know, lost a bunch of weight. Then I'd gain it and then I'd lose it. And that happened until I was about 26, a year into marriage. My wife and I, you know, just barely getting by. Somehow we afforded a house on pretty much just her salary, me delivering pizza and whatever else. And we got this house and living on ramen noodles. And I'm still trying to lose weight. Like my 10th time trying to lose weight, and I'm starving myself doing this whole blood type approach, which says I'm supposed to eat tons of healthy whole grains. And I say that with sarcasm. I was to the point, and I hear this a lot, no matter what I would eat, I'd be starving just a half hour later. If I ate, I was bloated as big as you could be. So I just wouldn't eat. You feel a lot more comfortable when you're not bloated. So a lot of times I would just starve myself, but I was eating healthy whole grains, almost no meat at all, because I was positive meat was hurting my gut, you know, based on this blood type stuff. And eating a bunch of vegetables, and I pretty much starved myself down to about $178 from, I think at that time I might have been 200, 220 or 212 something. And over a short amount of time, I got down to that weight, but I could never budge from there. Working out like crazy. We go on our first big vacation as newlyweds, and it's an all-inclusive resort in Mexico. And I'm thinking, I just want to be a glutton. I want to make this all-inclusive pay for itself. So I just remember all the high school wrestlers saying, eat healthy whole grain sandwiches, these, you know, whole wheat sandwiches, and it fills you up and makes you not hungry. I didn't want to be that person. I wanted to be hungry. So I actually cut out all the grains on this vacation and started eating red meat again. But I kept with my, you know, smoothies in the morning and stuff. I had the chefs make me stuff, tons of eggs and bacon. By day, the middle of the second full day, I went to order nachos at lunch, and I was just going to eat, you know, the cheese and meat off of it. And I looked at my wife in total surprise, like, oh crap, I'm getting sick. Something's wrong because I don't want to eat this. And she's like, okay, just don't. And I took a couple bites, and it really was just like, no, I just don't want food. I thought I was sick. But looking back, it was the first time in my life I wasn't hungry, and that blew me away. Can you imagine being 26 years old and not knowing what satiety felt like?
Right.
Yeah. So another few days in, I step on the scale. For some reason, they had a scale, I guess because that helps save the money at an all-inclusive resort.
Yeah.
I was down 5 pounds. 5 pounds, eating cheesecake every night. Having affogato, which is ice cream with espresso poured over it, I was still down weight. So this Australian guy, I'm telling him what's going on, and his response is, yeah, mate, sounds like the paleo diet.
Yeah.
So this was 12 years ago, 11 years ago, something like that. I came home from that vacation. I dropped another 15 pounds in 2 weeks, and I've never looked back. So that is the story of how I got into Life Starts with Food. For me, in such a short amount of time, I was an angry husband. I wasn't a mean husband, but I wasn't, if I got mad, I was just mad for 3 days. I didn't know why. Over stupid stuff. Honey, why did you put the forks where the spoons go? You didn't ask me about this. Yeah, I'd be mad for a day. So it changed my life. Food changed how I approach this world. Everything, every aspect of my life. It made me a better Christian, better brother, better spouse, a better friend, better everything. It made me want to read books. It made me want to learn. So for me, you know, life starts with food. It could be life starts with God. It could be life starts with fasting. It could be something different for everybody. For me, life starts with food. So I hope that kind of answers where, like, my how to, my origin story there for you.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's quite the journey you've been on there, Mike, and a lot of details. So if we could maybe just start to unpack a little bit of that, you know, how you said you've been doing this now for 11 to 12 years, you know, and I know part of what you talked about or had an issue with is going back and forth between dieting and not dieting, gaining the weight, losing it. So how do you avoid, you know, what is it now that you think this time it worked? How do you avoid that yo-yo dieting, if you will?
Yeah. So for me, and I believe for a lot of people out there, I think the majority of people, when you just remove the foods from your diet that are causing the problems that we're all intolerant to, when you remove those out of your diet, the weight just comes off easier and you stop craving. If you're a person that craves like crazy, you stop craving and you can have a diet of abundance. Generally, a paleo or a primal diet like Mark Sisson talks about, for the majority of people on this planet, that is the human diet. You know, eat lots of animals, eat whole fruits and vegetables when they're in season. And that's, it gets down to that easy. So when I cut those things out of my diet, I stopped being stuffed to the brim every meal. I was starving at all times. My body was malnourished. The things I was eating were actually leaching nutrients from me. So it makes sense I was hungry. So if you can nourish your body, pull out the things that are causing inflammation, all of a sudden it gets easy to want to do that. So every time before, I always kept grains in. I always kept dairy in, which dairy, it turns out, is a problem for me as well now. So just pulling those things out makes it so much easier, and nourishing the body with real whole animal proteins, especially. But fruits and vegetables, you know, they help cleanse you out.
How'd you find out that you had a dairy issue as well? Was it an elimination diet or just feelings or what?
Yeah, so I stayed paleo. And we can explain paleo in a minute if you want. But I stayed mostly paleo for quite a few months with dairy still in there. I literally, when I came home from that vacation, when I Googled paleo, I found Bulletproof Executive, which was Dave Asprey, and Mark Sisson, the Primal Blueprint, Mark's Daily Apple, that kind of stuff. So I just kind of followed their writings. And you know, you're reading through 20 articles a day they have written, and all of a sudden you come across dairy stuff. So I had been convicted by one of the podcasts or one of the articles I read about dairy. So I just pulled it out for a while. And when I pulled it out, things improved even more. And I didn't realize some joint pain and ankle pain that I had left over, residual pain, was actually coming from dairy. Every time I put it in, I'd have dairy once or twice in a day or two. And I'd have ankle pain or knee pain for like a week, you know, maybe 5 days. So it hit me all of a sudden, hey, that's probably a problem for you.
Yeah.
Mike, you, before this kind of revelation you had on this trip, did you even, I know you kind of said standard American diet and obviously the stuff you ate growing up wasn't probably ideal, but prior to that, being an athlete and everything, did you ever pay attention to your nutrition at all? Or did you just eat?
No. No, not at all. I wish I understood it. I really wish I did. I don't know. Eating the way I do now, I have no idea how I would have gotten enough calories in me then. It would have been pretty tough, but I'm sure I would have figured it out. But I never had it. My mom, she actually was oddly enough, my mom was a bodybuilder for a short time. She didn't do any shows or anything, but she got buff enough that my dad was like, hey, honey, maybe step back from that. she knew pretty well how to lose weight and how to heal the body, but it was mostly through vegetables and like lean meats. It was kind of the old school traditional way of doing things, which is still pretty well founded, just not optimal in my opinion. So I didn't understand any of that myself.
And what were you doing professionally before you started doing the coaching and the other stuff that we'll get into that you're doing now?
Oh yeah, so I have a loving wife and she loves her job.
I like how you started that. Good.
answer right there, huh? I don't feel like I live in the right era. I don't feel like I belong here at all. In this time where we're supposed to work 9 to 5s. I think it's one of the least healthy things we do. I went to college. I excelled at college. I graduated with honors. And I think I had like a 3.9 from Robert Morris for business. And what I learned in college is I never want to work in an office. I never want to work in a normal setting. So I was trying, you know, multi-level marketing. I was trying to figure out what I could do for my own business, all the while just delivering pizza, literally just delivering pizza. Honestly, until a year and a half ago, I kept delivering because it almost became an outreach for me in terms of, spreading Christ. So I realized they're going to eat the pizza anyways. So I might as well give them a smile and say, God bless. I've done a lot of stuff. I've worked for Primal Kitchen. I currently, over the last 4 years, I work 2 days a week at a doctor's office just across the border in Ohio. And I health coach for them. And I also do emotional release and trapped energy release, similar to the emotion code, which uses muscle testing to identify those. So I've done a lot of things over the years. I've tried a lot of things. God has just put me in really interesting situations and really close to success, but never quite giving me that because I wasn't ready for it.
Wow, profound. So when you started to do some coaching and trying to help others with what you've learned here and kind of your journey with health, what do you see as some of the challenges, or how do you usually get started with somebody, that maybe hasn't had some of the ups and downs that you've had and just has eaten that cake diet or the standard American diet?
What would you start? The cake diet. So the truth is there's very few people that are looking for coaching that haven't been through similar stories to me. It's just such an interesting thing, Most of us have weight to lose. Most of us nowadays, I think it's like 60% of Americans are overweight or obese. So that's a big majority, when in the 70s, it was like 15% or 12%. I guess the hardest thing with them is just getting them understanding how big of a toxin some of our so-called foods actually are. Our vegetable oils, they're carcinogens. They both trick your body into thinking there's no blood sugar, and it tricks your body by blocking the insulin receptors. So that's twofold, making us diabetic, and it causes dementia. We have grains that trick the body into causing more inflammation and doing all these things to the brain and the gut, and it just messes with us. It causes inflammation all through the joints, and people go, "Oh, I'm just getting older. I have joint pain." And I say, "No, you're allergic to your food." Caleb was fighting battles at 80. I'm pretty sure at 60, you should be able to walk down the street.
Yeah.
So, is that helpful? I mean, it's really trying to guide people into understanding. For me, understanding why these things aren't food versus why, and busting the myths of, the government's been telling us for years and years that red meat's bad for you and you have to eat tons of vegetables and whole grains are so good. And that was all an unfortunate lie because the government didn't have enough money to pay for welfare, for the food on welfare. So thankfully, when you know these things, you go, "Oh crap, we got to really turn this around so we can be better humans." So,
Mike, I'd like to know about the doc's office you work at, because that's interesting to me. David and I think both kind of believe that, the standard healthcare system in this country is definitely damaged and probably just needs to be blown up and rebuilt from the ground up. But I'm just curious how that office works with a health coach. I think that's encouraging to me that you found someone willing to do that. I'm just curious how that relationship works and how the kind of the week in, week out stuff goes with that relationship.
Yeah. That's an amen to blowing up the healthcare system there. So he's an actual traditional MD, or technically he's an OD, osteopathic doctor. And sure. Probably 12 or 13 years ago, he had enough of his own health issues that he wasn't being able to heal himself. No other doctors he knew were healing himself. And he realized every patient he was working with, he was just giving more and more medications and none of them were being healed. When he finally found a doctor, it was a chiropractor who healed him using something called nutrition response testing, which is a form of muscle testing. Anybody and everybody should look up muscle testing and know that, like any alternative medicine, you will immediately find it on QuackWatch. So,
oh yeah.
But know that we get more healing through that than he's ever gotten through medications and surgeries. So It's some people might know it as applied kinesiology. It's a form of applied kinesiology. But muscle testing is an incredible thing. And he uses nutritional supplements to heal the body. So he and I were, I had not seen a doctor since I was 21. I met him around 31 or 32, I think. So I'd been without a doctor for a long time and I was fine with that. And we've been wanting a doctor, you know. At some point, you just do want somebody that can run blood labs for you when you're a biohacker and do these things. I thought he was going to be that guy. What it turned out to be, he was the guy that was like, no, you don't need that. Your body will tell you everything you need to know. And sure enough, that's what muscle testing does. And I went there as a patient. And by the second or third appointment, we were discussing me working for him. So it's a really incredible thing. He's the same nutty guy that I am. You know, we believe in a lot of the same conspiracy facts, things that used to be theories that are now proven. we both are more than happy to stop and pray for patients right in the moment if they ask for it or if we think they need it. So it's a real blessing to work there.
I like that conspiracy facts. That's good. What do you think about, you know, some of these different, there's so many different health journeys or different aspects that people can do. And when somebody comes to you, like you said, most people have been on these different journeys and saying, hey, I really don't think that the paleo is for me or fasting is for me. You know, how do you normally go about kind of talking about, I guess, the path that you would work with them on with health?
Yeah. So I'm pretty straightforward. If someone says, I want to be vegetarian or vegan, can you coach me? I say no. Even at the doctor's office, I tell them like, look, I can give you some guidance on low inflammatory things, but I can't give you guidance on being optimal with this diet because I don't believe it's optimal. So if you want to heal, you know, you go to, if you get surgery, a surgeon tells you most of the time, they tell you eat lots of red meat over the next few weeks. It'll help you heal faster. But why is it bad after that? So generally, if you're coming to me, hopefully you know a little bit about me. And I try to make it well known on any social media, anything I do. I'm pretty forward with with people. This is what I believe is the most authentic human diet in terms of a paleo primal approach. And I always tell people I love paleo or primal because you can Google recipes, anything that your grandma's ever made, you can Google it and come up with 10 to 1,000 websites that have a version of it. So it makes it easy to kind of have the foods you still love. But most importantly for me, paleo or primal is kind of this overarching umbrella. Under that umbrella, you can do a Mediterranean. You can do high carb if you're a CrossFitter. You can do low carb or keto if you don't move much and you're trying to lose weight or whatever. You can go carnivore if you need to reset the gut and eliminate things to see what's causing issues. You can go vegan, vegetarian if you're a crazy person and you think that makes you healthy, or if you just have moral beliefs around that, and that's fine, you know. But it takes, I always tell people there is no ancestral history on vegans or vegetarians being successful as a community. It's never worked long term. So there's a reason for that. So that's kind of how I talk people through it. But for the most part, the way I talk people into, because you have to talk people into a diet, even if they're looking for a diet, you have to talk them into why. I just go through the myths. I bust all the myths, which used to take a lot of time. And now it's gotten a lot quicker for me because I say, you know, prior to 2 years ago, we thought the government was kind of out to get us a little bit. Now we think the government really wants us dead. So like who were the people who always told us that red meat was bad and told us you have to eat broccoli every day or you're a bad person and told us to eat healthy whole grains? It really is. It stems down from the government and different government studies that were put on. So it's made my life a lot easier. I hope that helps. I hope that's kind of answers the question. I know it doesn't totally.
It does. And kind of one of the other myths that maybe goes along with that is that it's hard to be healthy if you maybe travel a lot for your job or yeah. or going on vacation. And obviously your epiphany kind of came during vacation, but do you have any kind of advice for those that maybe travel a lot or that, you know, I don't have a choice. I have to go through McDonald's every day because I'm driving up and down the East Coast or something yeah. like
that. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing, not having a choice, because not having a choice is your choice. Mm-hmm. And I hope that really resonates. I'm going to say that one more time. Not yeah. having a choice is your choice. I like to reframe people and say, don't ever say I can't do this or that. Say, it's not my priority to. So yeah. if you know you have to travel, you know, go to Costco, buy a whole bunch of chicken thighs, cook them up, make a ton of hard-boiled eggs, take some sea salt with you, and boom, you now have travel food. I don't care if it's 3 days, 2 days, 1 day. I take hard-boiled duck eggs on every trip I go on. they're my favorite travel food. Every place you go, almost even Italian restaurants have a steak. So many places have burgers. You know, if you're eating out, you're not going to be able to avoid vegetable oils, but you can always ask, hey, do you guys have olive oil or butter you can cook this in instead or cook it on a grill? There's always options to be as healthy as possible. There's always rotisserie chickens at grocery stores. There's always hot dogs. A hot dog is a perfectly healthy food, guys. Should it be like, you know, the grass-fed, grass-finished, like Teton Waters makes? Yeah. Does it have to be? No. Avoid the ones with corn syrup and stuff in it. So just go with the least ingredients possible. There are so many ways to eat healthy that it just blows my mind. If you're on the road and there's literally nothing around, then that's where you really need to prep with hard-boiled eggs, tons of beef jerky, have fruit if you're not diabetic, then definitely have fruit with you. I take honey on trips as a snack, like a, you know, nightcap if I'm wanting a sweet treat. So there are so many options out there as long as you're willing to not go through a drive-thru. But even with drive-thrus, I would not recommend McDonald's, but Arby's and Wendy's, you can ask for lettuce. I've had patients that ask for lettuce instead of bread at Arby's. And they swear that they're getting three times the amount of lunch meat when they do a sandwich on the lettuce. So you can do these things. It's just, again, Google paleo on the go options. I dare you to, and you will come up with 1,000 websites that all have ideas.
Yeah.
Is that helpful?
I think your first statement is really the key to it. It's just like everything else. Do you want to do it or you not want to do it? The resources, some of the positives of today's day and age is the internet. And if you want to use it for good and try to figure out the recipes, the different things that can move you in a positive direction, it's there. It's mm-hmm. up to you.
Yeah. And we all have so much time at night too. Sorry about that. But like I personally, I watch way too much TV right now. My wife and I, she's pregnant and we're in this like this just comfortable sitting around phase and it's terrific. I love it. But I would not normally watch the amount of TV I do, but I make sure I get all the things done that I want to get done before I watch TV. And that includes if I'm gone all day tomorrow, I'm cooking food for tonight for tomorrow, or I just fast. So, it really comes down to priority. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. I'm just going to piggyback a little bit on David's question about travel. Just curious about if you have any experience international travel and getting yourself fixed up, like when you arrive at a new place, if you're going to be there for, if it's not an all-inclusive resort, that's one thing.
But yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you're traveling for business and you're staying in a, you know, in a hotel in a major city, I mean, what do you think people's options are for that kind of stuff?
International travel is my favorite. I love Europe and, we had our 10-year anniversary trip to Portugal canceled right before, the first month of COVID. So we always do Airbnbs. The way the price of hotels now, they're as expensive as any Airbnb. Airbnbs were actually cheaper before COVID because of the hotels were so expensive. So if you're going to Europe, meat's easy to find. You know, and clean vegetables, like real food, so much easier to find in other countries. If you're going to a tourist trap that they know it's a lot of Americans, you're going to find American food. It's just that simple. But man, we spent, I think, 10 days in Mexico last year and we ate, I ate steaks most of the time. I they weren't that tasty because it was in like the desert of Mexico, and grass-fed steaks where there's no grass is pretty interesting. but in general, we've been traveling for the last 8 years, and other countries are so much easier. Germany, they have real sausages. They're fat, they're organs, they're all the foods you want, and they're amazing. Even the beer in Germany. I cannot drink beer here in the US. I can drink beer in Germany, in the Czech Republic, and not like want to fall over from stomach pain or be bloated and gain 5 pounds overnight. So I feel like other countries are so much easier. We have so many celiacs in our practice that go to Italy and they eat pasta for the first time in 10 years. So I really, when I travel, that is when I will, you know, quote unquote, cheat. I'll test the waters, but I usually wait until the trip's getting closer to done because I don't want to get sick. I don't want to push it too hard, but I always love to try traditional foods. So when you travel, mostly stick to your normal diet. You know, have a great big breakfast if you want. Don't worry about lunch all day. Have some cocktails, have some local alcohols and snacks they make. And then for dinner, every once in a while, try the traditional foods. I'm a big believer in doing that. Why else travel? Why, you've got to learn the culture, and cultures surround themselves. They make up themselves through food. So that's when I have fun, and I still stay very strictly to my diet for the most part. So it's very easy traveling. And for the actual plane ride, you're allowed to bring food on the plane with you. So that's what I will fast a lot of times for a plane ride. It helps you reset your circadian rhythm, especially those long ones with a lot of time zone changes. I always take sea salt with me, or Celtic sea salt, Rudman real salt, because you get very dehydrated on planes, and they keep the humidity in the plane lower than any desert on the planet. I think like half that much. So it's really bad for you there. I will take ketones, or I'll have MCT oil before I leave. I take molecular hydrogen tablets. I do a lot of biohacking for plane rides because they're so damaging to our body. But man, it is easy to find good food in other countries.
Mike, I had a question in regards to coming off of COVID and kind of working with clients during COVID and or even for yourself as well. Did you, I know in watching some of your stuff and learning kind of a little bit about you, you're big on constant improvement, continuous improvement. Did you see any changes with clients or anything that you had to change during COVID?
Some things that happened with like long haul syndrome for some people, which was really interesting. People that, you know, they just had wasn't that bad of a case, and they have this long term effect of being not being able to eat almost any food. So I actually red meat making them sick. So I've had to really work with people in different ways than I normally would to try to get them food. I mean, they're dwindling away. And you know, whether that's like, I literally just go through their food journal and see like, what can you actually eat that doesn't make you want to throw up? And a lot of times it'll be yogurt or something. And I tell them, cause they come to our place and we have kind of food guidelines, and a lot of the foods that they're able to eat are not falling in these guidelines. So I tell them, eat all the yogurt you can. I don't care what it is. If you can eat nothing but apples and yogurt, eat all of it. Just keep eating it. So it has been, these are things I would not have got to, I've not had the chance to work with had I not been in a doctor's office. So that would be the biggest change we've had. But the other change is mentally. People are so much more willing to believe that we've been lied to. The myths, it's easier to break those myths. Salt is not bad for us. Salt's terrific for us. Wars have been fought over salt. Christ mm-hmm. calls us the salt of the earth. It's just amazing. Table salt's junk.
Right.
This crystalline structure that destroys the arteries and causes all kinds of issues. Real, true salt, unrefined salt is incredible for us. It's life-giving. So those are the biggest things that I've seen over COVID. Aside, the worst of the worst was just the actual fear and the longing for somebody who felt the same way as them. So a lot of my coaching at the office stopped even being food-related. It just, I would just sit there and listen. It was really odd, but it was, I knew it was really nourishing for them in a totally different way than we'd ever had to nourish people before. So, tribe is such a massive thing. And when you are locked away in your houses, away from your tribe, it is so damaging for the body, for the soul, for the mind, for every aspect. And it's just thinking back on some of these, it makes me want to cry. I'm holding back some, I don't want to tear up, you know, there's no video, so it's okay. but it was really heartbreaking. People of all ages coming to me and having these conversations. And thank God we never once closed down during this whole pandemic. We were the only doctor's office I know of in like 100 square miles that if somebody said, hey, I got it, I need you to write me a prescription. First off, we don't write prescriptions most of the time. We would just say, no, we need to check you out. Come on in. And if they were nervous about being in the waiting room or something, we'd bring them through the back door and right into the practice room, all these things. So it was an absolute blessing on my part to be able to share with everybody that, like, hey, all the hundreds of patients at our practice all feel the same way you do. And that was so huge to be able to do that. So, it was a blessing for me.
Yeah, no, I think what you're doing, and I know what Josh and I are doing here, is the big aspect to that. And that's the education and kind of giving another voice to the other kind of thought process of how to live your life. And it doesn't have to be this painful, pain-ridden lifestyle.
Yeah.
So,
Mike, what are you experimenting with these days? I know I told you I want to talk a little bit about, I've seen you mess with I saw you make some pemmican one time, which I'm fascinated by that process. I like to look into that. But then what else are you doing as far as your nutrition? Or you sound like someone probably like me, like every now and then you like to just kind of go off on a tangent and try something. Or maybe talk about your messing with a little bit with some raw foods and
yeah,
some other things.
Yeah. So first off, pemmican is one of the coolest foods to ever exist on this planet. I love it. I was eating some just the other day. I have a whole batch of a few pounds made up. I am constantly, every month probably, I make another batch of pemmican. And I actually have a PDF, a pemmican PDF. I can't remember. I was in a webinar where I gave it out to people. So I'll have to figure that out for your audience too if they want to learn about pemmican. I literally want to make a business around it. I love it so much. I think it's so cool. But outside of pemmican, I did just do one of my patients is definitely obese. He's a good friend of mine, or he's a client, I should say, not a patient. And I walked him through some fasting recently. He has carb addictions. He has all these problems going on. A lot of medications he's wanting to get off of. And to help him, I decided I used to love fasting. I haven't fasted for a long time. So I did a 3-day fast with him. And I have another friend who's a biohacker and big time, you know, online marketer and stuff. And he experimented with a 5-day dry fast.
Ooh.
Yeah. And he's still recovering from it 4 days later. It's like surgery on the body. So I have only ever dry fasted for maybe 14 hours unintentionally. So during this 3-day fast, I did probably day one, about halfway in, I started dry fasting just maybe, I think, 18 hours. Tuesday morning I was going to work. So I had some electrolytes, some coffee, and I stopped drinking right then. I did a 24-hour till the next day. And I got pretty weak from that. So it was really interesting, really fun. I have a small injury in my thigh right now, a quad sprain that's really nagging me. I felt that flare up during the dry fast, which tells me some extra stem cells were going there. And, so I did a 3-day fast with my friend. My friend extended his to 4, and he lost 14.5 pounds in 4 days. So fasting is amazing, and he didn't want to stop. So he's got a big goal, and we're going to plan a lot of fasting for that. So fasting is one that I always come back to eventually. I might quit it for a year and then I start fasting again. I just love fasting. It's so cool what it does for the body. Raw meat, man, when you have a bite, your first bite of raw turkey breast, like raw, like a whole, like you get chicken breast in the supermarket, your first bite of raw turkey breast, and it's so good. And you just realize, holy cow, what else have I been lied to about? Now I, with chicken and pork, I go to the extremes to get healthy animals. But in terms of red meat, I don't care where I buy the red meat from. I'll eat it raw. If it's lamb, beef, I'll eat it raw. But I really just started out over years of just, I take a little slice off of my lamb from Costco and just throw that back raw. And I might take a bigger, like a bunch more slices. And then I'd find myself one day eating most of a steak that way. But it was over time. But every time I go to a nice restaurant, if they have tartar, I buy tartar. If they have carpaccio, I buy that. It's raw meat. And it's so expensive. And I realized like every other culture has this stuff. Why are we so scared of red meat? It's not like God was like, that rain put their fire out. How can I really screw with these guys today? Ah, bacteria. You know, like our body, we have the most acidic stomach out of almost any animal. Why? And we are meant to eat rotten meat. So I do high liver, which is fermented liver. Tell me that's not gross, right? But it's a really interesting flavor. It's almost addictive. If the liver tasted good to begin with, if it tasted bad, it's no good.
Right. Are you making those things or are you buying them?
Say this again.
Are you making that liver or are you the fermented liver?
I have no idea where you would buy it. I just make it. I just cut up. I get a liver. You know, you open a package of liver, you can tell if it smells really bad or not. The ones that smell bad, I recommend soaking those a lot and just trying to cook them some way. But I really recommend when you find that clean liver that doesn't really have much odor, chopping it up into small pieces, throwing it in a mason jar, putting the lid on it. If you want to put it in the fridge, you pull it out of the fridge every day and stir it. And after a couple of weeks, you're going to have high liver. I leave mine on the counter and it works in about 4 days to 8 days. So, and then I'll put it in the fridge once I have it fermented, well fermented.
Yeah.
So you're not adding anything to that.
No, I've heard of people adding salt or water or whey. I don't tolerate whey, in any way. Right. So I just leave that out. I have a friend in Vermont that does, whey fermented meats, which I think is really cool. It's, probably from, Nourishing Traditions from Sally Fallon Morrell. And he loves it, but I don't know. I probably need to do a few more dry fasts to heal my gut up enough to do anything with whey or dairy. So, but yeah, you just literally leave it and you stir it every day. You open a lid up and stir it, and that's it. Even if you're not going to eat it, I recommend making it sometime because it's just amazing seeing ferment bubbles come out of meat.
Yeah.
You know, we do that with vegetables and we think it's terrific and healthy, and it is. And then we do it with meat and we think, oh, that meat's rotten.
Yeah, no, there it is very fascinating, and fermenting food is fun, and it's a practice that I don't understand why we don't do. If it's sauerkraut or kombucha or what you're talking about here, it's something that is very valuable for our guts and overall health.
Yeah.
What have you found with your clients that you coach? Do you find more of them have success when you get to heal their gut, when they lose weight, when they start moving? Is there anything that you can say as a trend that you would say more often than not, this is when my clients start having success, or is it some combination of all?
Man, that's a great question. Honestly, I would say most people, and this is at the doctor's office really, because we have a lot of questionnaires and things that we get a lot of feedback. Most people maintain success best when their pain goes away. And when you lower your inflammation and you're a 40, 50 year old person and you have joint pain and you have lower inflammation and all of a sudden you don't hurt, all of a sudden your sleep gets better. So maybe the answer would be inflammation. When you get rid of inflammation, all of a sudden the body can start healing and you just start feeling better overall. You have better energy. I actually feel bad for the patients who, when they do cheat and have like, oh, I was at a party and had pizza or cake and they don't have immediate pain, I feel bad for them because it's going to be harder for them. But most of our patients really, when they're strict and then they jump off the wagon and have some kind of cake or something that's not, say, a paleo almond flour version or something, they will generally have a couple days of either mild to moderate pain. Sometimes people are like, I was in the bathroom in a half hour and I couldn't get off the toilet when I ate that stuff. It's your body's repulsed by it when it doesn't have to fight it every day. So really, that's when I see the most success in people. At that point, I can just about let them go and give them a much more moderate amount of guidance. It's just such a cool thing. And that's, I really think that's what happened to me, is when I was able to, when something changed so drastically in my life that I just wasn't hungry anymore, that was all the help I needed. And that one Australian dude goes, "Yeah, mate, paleo diet." And the whole, like, I think God would have planned that for me no matter what happened in my life. But he had everything lined up just perfect for that. And it was just the ability to look at something, look at that piece of bread and go, "That's a rock on the ground. I would never eat that. Why would I eat bread anymore? It's not food for me. It might be food for that person. It's not for me." So when people have reduced pain, that's probably the biggest factor.
Yeah.
Mike, and kind of trying to wrap this up in all the different, because I know I could go on forever and keep asking you questions and questions and questions. Is there any one piece of advice that you could offer someone who is struggling to get started today?
Just look up Primal, look up Paleo. Mark Sisson has 15 years of articles written every single day. He has a book called 21 Day Body Total Body Transformation. And at the very least, what that will teach you is how damaging vegetable oils and seed oils are, how damaging white sugar can be in the presence of those oils, and how damaging grains are for us, how inflammatory they are. That's probably the most broad spectrum that I could give to people. But people who are just struggling with food addiction, do that and fast. Do a 2-day fast, do a 1-day fast. That'll help cut that addiction. Increase your meat. So I got like 5 things, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, these are good.
Lay them out.
But increase the meat, do a paleo-ish diet, and if you still need to do something else, fast.
Yeah.
Those are all sound ones Josh and I both like, so yeah. I like it.
The sad thing is it's so simple.
Yeah.
You know, what you just laid out is not hard. And it's all things that are readily available.
Yeah.
And yet, if you walked into any other doctor's office with similar symptoms to someone you might see, they would never hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, when I say increase your meat, I eat 2 pounds of meat a day. People think, "Oh my goodness, that's so insane." Well, now that meat costs more than store-bought meat costs more than grass-fed meat, just go to your farmer.
Yeah.
You know, if you can find cheap meat, red meat's great to buy cheap. Chicken and pig, I would say go a little high end on that, but you know, bacon, burgers, hot dogs, all that. So eggs are amazing, but yeah.
And you eat that 2 pounds of meat and you probably maintain your body weight without any effort, I would imagine.
Oh yeah. The 2 pounds, if I'm just eating 2 pounds of meat, I will lose out. I'll lose weight. I'll lean down real fast. Yeah. I actually have to now go out of my way to add in more fat and some natural healthy carbs in order to keep my weight up. I'm trying to gain muscle right now. So that's my new experiment. I should have said earlier, but, okay. I've been way too lean for way too long and I'm strong, but I want to look as strong as I actually am. I kind of have freakish skinny guy strength.
That's good. Call
it the redneck strength.
There you go. Well, Mike, we want to be respectful of your time, and David and I both have things we got to get back to. This has been really a fascinating conversation and enjoyed it. Maybe we can do a round 2 sometime, but I'd love to go kind of further down the rabbit hole of things like pemmican and fermenting and things like that. So maybe we could do that for a round 2 at some point when our calendars line up again. That'd be a lot of fun.
I would love it. And we can, I love the Shenandoah Valley. I would love to do this in person if possible too. You let me know and we'll make a weekend trip down or something, see the homesteads.
Yeah. Well, you're always welcome. And, when's the baby due?
November.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe we'll do something before then, because after that, things are going to change a little bit.
It's going to lock down.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Mike. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll make sure that we put links in our show notes to where people can find you on social media. And then, yeah. I'd love if you had that pemmican PDF. I just selfishly would love to have it. And if you're sharing it with our audience, we'd love to be able to do that too.
Yeah. If I get a big enough pool for it, I'd love doing a class on it, like kind of a master class of making it. I've made it a ton of different ways. So, but yeah. And if anybody has questions for me, Life Starts With Food on Instagram, on Facebook, lifestartswithfood.com. You can find me all those places.
Yeah, that's awesome. Great.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you guys. I really had fun.
Thank you. All right. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming along with us for another episode of the Healthy Team, Healthy Business podcast. We'd love for you to follow us on Instagram at Healthy Team, Healthy Biz. That's B-I-Z. You can also find us on Facebook under the same name. You're welcome to send us a message on either one of those applications, or you can send us an email directly at teamdudes@healthyteamhealthybusiness.net. We'd love to hear your feedback and requests you might have for topics or guests. Please feel free to send them our way. If you would take the time to give us a rating or a feedback on your favorite podcast app, that would also be much appreciated and quite helpful. Thanks again for following along and sharing your passion for health with all of us.